Welcome, Curious Minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're embarking on a truly unique journey. We're heading into a fascinating, pretty unfiltered corner of the internet. Our mission: to explore the inner workings of an online community, specifically a Homestuck general board. Our source material calls it the Sleepies Edition Old.
Indeed. And this deep dive isn't just about one specific fandom, you know. It's really an exploration of the unpredictable and often chaotic flow of information you find in certain online forums. We'll be pulling out key insights based on direct excerpts from the board itself, not just what topics pop up, but really how these conversations unfold, sometimes blending the totally mundane with the truly extreme.
Right, think of it like peeling back the layers of a digital ecosystem. Our sources are raw. Posts, replies, references to different media. It's a real-time snapshot, an unfiltered online space. And just to be clear, we're here to impartially report on this content. We want you to get a thorough understanding of the ideas, the dynamics present, without us endorsing any particular views.
Absolutely. What's truly fascinating here is just the sheer breadth of the discussion. You get everything from highly creative, really niche interests to some pretty provocative social commentary. It's a challenge to synthesize, definitely, but also incredibly revealing about, well, the nature of online interaction today. So, are you ready to plunge in?
Okay, let's unpack this a bit. Our source material, it gives us a direct window into like an online image board or forum. You see posts identified by numbers, users reply to each other, often referencing those specific post numbers. Makes it easy to follow threads, sort of. There are also mentions of file attachments, images, audio, stuff like that, though we only have the text content to analyze here.
Yeah, and that format, it really lends itself to rapid, often very informal exchanges. And they frequently use their own internal slang, like the source mentions a homesick posting mode and its opposite.
Yeah.
Now,
Great.
what that means exactly isn't spelled out, but suggests specific community behaviors, maybe nostalgic posting or a certain style, things insiders would just get. You also see these references to users, quote, "spurging out about politics with no impetus."
Which kind of highlights that unfiltered, passionate, sometimes disruptive communication style you find on these platforms.
It immediately gives you a sense of an established community, doesn't it? With its own norms, even if they're
Definitely.
unspoken, even when those norms involve things like active banning, like that one user apparently dedicated to spurging out about politics, even though no one cares and people actively ban him for it. That points to a certain, I don't know, persistence, maybe defiance within the community. Right. And that persistence, it really raises an interesting question, doesn't it? How do these informal structures, this immediate feedback loop of an image board, how does that influence the types of conversations that emerge, especially when you compare it to, say, more moderated or conventional online spaces? Does that lack of formal structure paradoxically kind of foster certain types of extreme or, you know, persistent behavior?
Okay, so we've looked at the sort of mechanics of the board. Let's turn to the content now. The stuff that really drives these communities, their shared passions, like fandom and gaming. We see direct mentions of characters from Homestuck, that huge, complex webcomic. Characters like Rose Lalonde, who's described interestingly as a creature who likes string. Also, Roxy Kitten, Terezi, Aerie, and Equius. Familiar names if you know the comic. There's even this practical discussion about the unofficial Homestuck collection and past legal threats against its developers. So real-world stuff bleeding into the fan space.
And beyond Homestuck, the gaming discussions are, well, incredibly detailed, really specific. It highlights that deep technical engagement you often see in these communities. For example, there's a user working on a Pokefired expansion. That's a fan mod for the classic Pokemon Fire Red game. And this user is aiming for 162 or 215 fake monsters, or expi monsters, as they call them. Fan-created ones, basically, with, get this, 32 numerology baked in wherever possible.
32 numerology, what does that even mean?
Well, it means the number 32 and its symbolic interpretations are apparently intricately woven into the game's design. It adds these layers of subtext, you know, for really dedicated players. This isn't just playing the game, it's active co-creation. Deep stuff.
Wow, okay. And another fascinating thing is users brainstorming new ideas for existing games, like for Plants vs. Zombies. They suggest mods like Bendy shooting wrenches or ink, or an Enderpea, like an Enderman from Minecraft, shooting Minecraft blocks. And then there's a John Pork character, which just sounds bizarre. They seem to think these kinds of additions would make the game go viral. What does that tell us about how they see IP, intellectual property, in these spaces? It feels very fluid.
It absolutely shows how these communities generate creative extensions of existing IPs. Now, fluids is a good word. They often blur the lines between fan content and, you know, original concepts. We also see a lot of discussion about Shin Megami Tensei V or SMTV. Users are critiquing its weak battle themes, claiming the story forgot to actually make a plot, calling it bare bones.
Huge. Pretty harsh critique.
It is. And they even speculate on behind-the-scenes issues, linking the SMT4 director to maybe a Redo remake project, and suggesting Etrian Odyssey dudes, developers from that series, were involved in SMTV's development, perhaps explaining some design choices.
Interesting. And the conversation touches on, like, deeper game politics too, right? There are mentions of a YHVH USA Divine Powers Bricks metaphor in SMT. For listeners, YHVH is a big recurring antagonist figure in SMT lore, so comparing that to USA versus Bricks suggests some complex geopolitical readings of the game's plot. There's also dissatisfaction with character fates, like Dagda being stuck as Skeleton Man permanently. They care about these details.
Yeah, that collective critique, it highlights a very active, very engaged consumer base. They aren't just passively accepting the content. They're actively analyzing it, sometimes even wanting to rewrite the narrative. Another big topic is Epic Universe. Apparently a long-running animated series, the source says it's been running for about 14 years, started August 3rd, 2011, with spin-offs like Remastered and Annihilation. Sounds like quite the saga. Users discuss specific characters like Ouija, you know, the meme version of Luigi and Awesome Face, and even new microgame OCs, original characters named Tim and Tom, apparently designed to fuse into Tim Tom and Tom Tim based on a T-shape because their names start with P. Very specific creation process.
Okay, so yeah, these discussions taken together, they show this deep, ongoing engagement with media. It really reflects not just consumption, but active participation in creation, critique, even expanding these shared fictional worlds.
Exactly. And zooming out a bit, what this section really highlights is how deeply integrated media consumption and content creation are in these online spaces. It fosters this kind of collective, collaborative form of entertainment that's just constantly evolving.
Okay, so moving beyond specific fandoms, this board also offers, well, a masterclass in broader internet culture. Some weird, some typical stuff. We see discussions about banning users, for instance, someone being banned from Marzipan, apparently for calling Mike Enoch Pinovich, who's a known white supremacist figure, a fat kike.
Right.
Which highlights, you know, the moderation challenges, but also the kind of highly offensive language that's just there.
It also reveals the persistence of specific online goon cultures. These are distinct online subcultures, often tracing back to older forums like Something Awful, known for their particular styles, often cynical, ironic. You know, the source describes irony douche anime haters who think Evangelion is somehow not mainstream or a deconstruction, which is a very niche, very specific kind of critique born out of those circles. This goon plague, as one user actually calls it, is seen as having spread across the internet by now, into Reddit, into Twitter, into 4chan. So they see it as influential.
Right. And there's also this constant, almost ritualistic instruction, refresh your page now. And comments like noon, meaning a new page has started, it just reflects that super fast-paced, ephemeral nature of these boards. Content is always updating. You got to keep up or miss stuff.
And what's really fascinating here is the meta commentary. The discussion about the internet itself. Users talk about irony poisoning. That's the idea where, you know, prolonged immersion in ironic or satirical stuff can blur the lines between genuine belief and just mockery, leading people to express or even internalize pretty extreme or offensive views. They also debate whether blaming literal internet users for everything is, quote, retarded.
Yeah.
And they even joke about applying F2P mechanics, free-to-play game mechanics like microtransactions or whatever, to thread summaries, or even the whole forum, HSG, but with S2P mechanics, suggests this kind of gamified, almost transactional view of just interacting online.
Gamifying the forum itself. Okay.
Yeah.
And you get these glimpses of very specific forum personalities, too. Like the user who never trusts Uber Eats because apparently he said no pussy, which is quite a reason. Or discussions about GPT's diagnosis of users based on their online habits, like being MTG Magic, the Gathering fans, implying there's a specific personality type or set of behaviors associated with that hobby within the forum's context.
Exactly. And these little examples, they raise a really important question. How do these micro communities develop such distinct languages, such specific internal jokes and social hierarchies? And what does that mean for new users trying to jump in? When so much context is already assumed, you know, it really speaks to a very insular, yet sometimes quite influential form of digital socialization.
Okay, now, we need to address some of the most challenging and frankly pretty disturbing aspects of this online community. The source material contains some deeply offensive, politically charged, and explicitly hateful language. And again, we're reporting this directly without any endorsement, just to accurately reflect the unfiltered nature of these spaces.
Precisely. It's important context. The board reveals expressions of really intense prejudice. For instance, there are clear anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, claims like Jews control everything, but also pathetic, a contradictory sort of hate, and even that dentists are Jewish vampires, just bizarre, hateful stuff. There are also debates on politically loaded terms like fascism. Wow. One user calls it a fake and gay term made up by genocidal communists.
Yeah.
And links it, interestingly, to modernity, a complex philosophical concept about the roots of modern thought. So mixing academic ideas with crude insults.
Yeah. And the content also includes just deeply offensive racial comments. We see statements like brown is ugly no matter if it's a tan or your natural skin color, just outright racism. And users suggesting that Christianity, black people, zombies, linking religion, race, and horror tropes in a hateful way. Disturbingly, some users openly assert their racism, saying they are racist only against Congoids, Jews, Russo-Slavics, Paches, Hapas, and women, a specific curated list of hate, and desiring to deport and geoblock from our internet nons, which seems to mean non-white individual.
It's stark. And the content further delves into highly sensitive social discussions. One topic mentioned is trans women freaking out about being perceived as angry. And the claim that anger is sometimes male-coded, which they link to the Ites Man meme, often used mockingly. There's also mention of child brides and a debate about whether marriage under 18 was like two generations ago, normalizing or questioning historical norms, alongside a really provocative, violent rephrasing of a military slogan as the few, the proud, the raped. Just shocking language.
And the statements about geopolitics are equally extreme, right? One user identified as from the desk of Rose Lalonde, using that Homestuck character name, maybe ironically, maybe for authority claims the Americans want the complete cuckoldization of Europe and aim to castrate the Faustian spirit within it. Very charged language. This user further asserts that Americans hate the French for the same reason they hate the Germans and Spanish, because, quote, all had the balls to do what Americans have never done. Stand up to Jews. These are direct reflections, again, of specific extreme viewpoints from the source, showing deep-seated anti-American and anti-Semitic sentiment mixed together.
And this stark contrast between the, you know, playful fandom discussions we saw earlier and these deeply hateful, politically charged comments. That's perhaps the most revealing aspect of these unfiltered online spaces. Mm-hmm. It really highlights how these platforms can become, well, incubators for extreme ideologies, coexisting right alongside seemingly innocent interests like gaming or webcomics. This phenomenon, it forces us, I think, to consider the responsibility involved in engaging with such diverse and often contradictory information online.
Wow. What a deep dive that was into the Sleepies edition, old board.
Yeah.
We've journeyed from, the creative, passionate world of Homestuck and gaming mods all the way to the complex and often really troubling landscape of unfiltered online commentary. We've seen how communities gather around shared interests, definitely, but also how readily they can become platforms for extreme divisive views, creating their own unique cultures, their own language in the process.
Absolutely. This particular board really offers a microcosm of the internet itself. In a way, it's a place where dedicated fandom, technical innovation, just casual chat, and intense, sometimes hateful, social and political discourse all just mash together. Understanding these dynamics, the ins and outs of how these communities operate, what content they generate, feels pretty crucial for anyone navigating our increasingly digital world.
It certainly gives you a moment to pause and reflect on the sheer untamed variety of human expression online, for better and for worse. The specific examples we explored, I mean, from designing a Pokemon game with 32 numerology baked in to those extreme geopolitical theories, it truly underscores the unique and often really unpredictable character of these kinds of spaces.
Indeed. And knowledge, as always, is most valuable when it's understood and applied. This exploration hopefully helps us better discern the patterns, the implications of online communication, especially when we're confronting the unfiltered reality of online discourse like this.
So for you, our listener, here's maybe a final thought to mull over. Considering how easily creative expression and, well, extreme ideologies can coexist within the very same online spaces, what responsibilities do we as individuals have when we engage with or maybe contribute to or even just observe these unfiltered digital communities? Mm-hmm. Where do we draw the line between observation and participation? And I guess what impact does that line actually have? Something to think about.